AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Mangione in court. I'm Michelle Franzen. The man accused of gunning down the CEO of United Healthcare outside a Manhattan hotel, appearing in a New York federal courtroom hours after waiving extradition in Pennsylvania. Mangione addressed the judge, answering yes to several questions, but did not enter a plea. U.S. prosecutors charging Mangione with stalking murder through the use of a firearm and another count of using a silencer. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Lower Manhattan and says the federal case is in addition to state charges.
He faces an 11-count state indictment charging him with murder in furtherance of terrorism. So it gives you an idea what the authorities believe at least part of the motive to be. It was intentional, they say. It was meant to intimidate. It was meant to evoke terror.
Mangione's new attorney says the federal charges were sprung on her client and called it a highly unusual situation. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the launch of a new rebate program with the Public Service Commission. According to a press release, the home electrification and appliance rebate will provide instant discounts for low and moderate income households to install energy efficient appliances. Officials say the program will help lower the cost of those appliances upfront and help struggling families reduce their energy bills long term. The program received nearly $75 million in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the State Building Commission have announced the approval of $81 million of projects across the state. According to a press release, the approved funding does not include an additional $70 million for Universities of Wisconsin building projects, which were delayed by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The approved projects include things like maintenance and repair projects for the Department of Corrections and Department of Health Services and the rehabilitation of historic sites across the state. A number of Superior residents have seen a drastic increase in their property taxes following a citywide assessment of property values. According to Mayor Jim Payne, the assessments and additional local funding for schools are the driving factors behind the increase. In total, Superior residents are facing an over $3.5 million increase in their property tax burden. Mayor Payne also assured residents that this property tax increase is a one-time thing under inconvenient circumstances, and he does not expect another big hike in the near future. After years of planning and work, the Ashland and Bayfield County 911 dispatch centers have officially been combined into a consolidated department. The first two-county dispatch center in the state officially launched earlier this week, and law enforcement officials say it will streamline operational efficiency for emergency services and lead to faster and more accurate responses. The counties received millions of dollars in state funding and grants for the project to ensure the combined dispatch center offers state-of-the-art technology. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After an extra day off, the Packers are back at work, getting ready to host the Saints on Monday Night Football. Linebacker Quay Walker expected to be out a while with an ankle injury. Rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper named NFC Defensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night in Seattle. Matt LaFleur.
You know, he's a really talented guy. He did a great job. And I mean, on that screen play where they hit Jackson Smith Jigba out the backfield, that was just an elite play by somebody that has elite athleticism.
NBA, the Bucks in Cleveland tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. College basketball, Marquette with a win in their first Big East game of the season, beating Butler 80-70. Marquette now 10-2, ranked 9th in the nation. Head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, Butler's a dangerous team that's had some good wins on this season. Obviously beat us last year here, and I thought the way our guys handled adversity was way better this time around, and that's what allowed us to win.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A winter storm warning is in effect, with snow ongoing throughout the entire day, into the evening, and even overnight. Coming down heavy at times, reducing visibility to under a mile, and creating slick and slippery roads. With breezy winds gusting around 20 miles per hour, it's blowing and drifting the snow as well. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss Elon Musk's sinking of the latest bipartisan budget deal and the impact it will have on you with my regular co-host, Sandy Williams.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Happy holidays, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your friendly on-air lawyer, economist, and friend, even when we disagree. You can always join us for some great conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just some breaking news. While we were in our top of the hour break, Republicans announcing that they have a new plan to avoid government shutdown. Donald Trump tweeting out his support for the continuing resolution. So again, continue to watch this space. Cardi, what I'd like to do, since we're on this topic, and I got a couple of questions during break about this, I'd like to play Cut W, because one of the incredible bits of misinformation is that Social Security adds to our deficit. And that is false. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can just listen to Ronald Reagan explain it.
We're going to just keep asking members of the caucus as they come in.
That is not the right cut.
It have to be just the discretionary spending.
We not can the right get one. We're going to see if we can find it. It was the Ronald Reagan cut. That's not it either. That's Ron Johnson. I do not know where it went. Maybe it's cut V. Let's check that one out and see if that's Ronald Reagan. Let's take a listen here.
Well, Social Security, let's lay it to rest once and for all. I told you never would I do such a thing. But I tell you also now, Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit. Social Security is totally funded by the payroll tax levied on employer and employee. If you reduce the outgo of Social Security, that money would not go into the general fund to reduce a deficit. It would go into the Social Security Trust Fund. So Social Security has nothing to do with balancing a budget or erasing or lowering the deficit.
Ah, yes. The late, great Ronald Reagan explaining it all there for you. Cardi, that was my bad. That was gave you the wrong cut cue there, but we got there. Again, I just wanted to make that clear because, again, there's a lot of confusion about that. I have decided I'm going to do a whole, but probably at least an hour on Social Security when I come back from my little holiday break the week of January 6th. Speaking of which, just a little housekeeping here, everybody. We have got great guest hosts lined up for you for the entire 2 weeks. We're also going to have a really special Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve show for you here at the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm going to share some of my favorite memories of this time of year with you all. So do keep us locked in. And after my show on Christmas Eve, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is going to have a special episode. And then right at 6 o'clock, we're going to go into all Christmas music across the entire Civic Media Network, including our talk stations, for a little over 24 hours starting Christmas Eve. So again, we got you covered here for all of your holiday talk and musical needs, desires, and wants. So that's first thing. Again, big news, Republicans announcing that there is a deal on the table to keep the government funded to avoid the shutdown. And again, just wanting to be very clear, Social Security does not have anything to do with the federal budget or the budget deficit. Period. Next topic. I did have a little bit from Rachel Maddow on Elon Musk and his driving cars, self-driving cars, Cardi. If you've got that cut, I wanted to listen to this because I think it's a little lengthy, but it's important because the Elon Musk conflict of interest problem and the fact that apparently Elon Musk is now, you know, determining what American policy is and whether or not we get a continuing resolution that was negotiated by our actual elected representatives is important. So we're going to listen to this. This is from Rachel Maddow's show earlier this week. It was pretty gosh darn shocking. And I wanted to make this small correction. I did mention that Elon Musk isn't an American. He is not a born here American. He is a citizen. He became a citizen in 2002. Just wanted to make that clear. So, all right, let's take a listen. Can you turn the X-Files? Yep.
Action crash eastbound on the Bay Bridge and inside the Yerba Buena Tunnel.
I thought I was a goner at first when it happened. I mean, you see something like that, it's like coming towards you at full speed. I thought, well, this is it.
So that was Thanksgiving Day 2022. Just a few months later, the news outlet The Intercept obtained video that showed that accident as it happened. It turns out it was a Tesla, whose owner says the car was in full self-driving mode and the car just randomly braked super hard in the middle of the tunnel.
Total of 8 vehicles crashed, 9 people injured, including a 2-year-old boy. Just hours before the crash, Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced the launch of the full self-driving beta version, which he called a major milestone. But there are a growing number of reports of the Tesla technology unexpectedly slamming on the brakes. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration assigned a special crash investigation team to look into what happened. They're already investigating dozens of incidents involving advanced driver assistance systems from Volvos, Cadillacs, Hyundai, Genesis, and Cruise, but mostly Tesla.
Mostly Teslas. Earlier this year, the agency released its report on its findings after collecting all of this data for several years. It led to headlines like this, quote, Tesla's autopilot and full self-driving linked to hundreds of crashes and dozens of deaths. Government report described the data about these hundreds of crashes, but it also gave the specific details of some of them, including one particularly harrowing one from North Carolina. A 10th grader stepped off of a school bus. School bus was doing everything right. It was pulled over. It had its lights flashing, had all the warning signals that a school bus activates when it's letting off students to let everybody know around there that they need to stop. School bus was doing everything right. The kid was doing everything right. But a 2022 Model Y Tesla on autopilot mode nevertheless whipped around the stopped school bus and slammed into this kid. Reuters headline, quote, exclusive. Trump team wants to scrap car crash reporting rule. The Trump transition has apparently surveyed the landscape of public policy in the United States of America and has decided, you know what really needs to go? What needs to go as a matter of priority is this thing that we've had for a few years now where car companies have to report it when their car is on autopilot and it crashes into something. Now, what is the purported justification for getting rid of this rule and getting rid of it now? I mean, they can't just say, well, you know, this guy paid for the presidential election. Therefore, he kind of bought himself a government, and so he gets what he wants, right?
Yeah. This is the problem, right? Elon Musk, if he can tell Congress to stop the continuing resolution, tell Donald Trump what to do, why would Elon Musk not tell Donald Trump to do a bunch of stuff that helps out Elon Musk's businesses? So again, during the week of January 6th, at least an hour I'm going to spend on Social Security and at least an hour I'm going to spend just on Elon Musk and the conflicts and the contracts and the bailouts and the handouts and the help that he's received from the federal government. Because again, Elon Musk isn't a Republican or a Democrat. He's just the billionaire of the richest guy in the world variety. It's that's insane that the federal government should stop requiring car companies to report crashes involving their vehicles. Why is that a good idea? And I'm going to put this marker down as well. So remember this. It's 3:14 p.m. on December 18th, 2024. The thing, maybe not that I'm worried the most about, but easily in my top five things about Trump 2.0 is the absolute gutting and dismantling of our data collection systems and our data collection mandates in the federal government. Because this, the data is how we assess whether or not policy is successful or not. And if we don't have the data, then you can say whatever the hell you want about whether or not your policies are successful, and no one has the information to say you're wrong. It's the logical next step in factual relativism, where lies become truth and truth become lies. As an economist, that is deeply concerning. And I know people are in this headspace where it's like, oh, it's just all made up. Yeah, people can do crappy and biased analyses. Yep, that happens. But what publicly available, reliable federal raw data provides you is the ability to go show that their analysis was crud. And so this one, on behest of Elon Musk, oh, stop tracking crash data. That's just one example. So watch out for Donald Trump 2.0 dismantling federal data analysis, federal data collection, dismantling the regulations that require reporting of certain types of data. And watch out for what they might newly start tracking and requiring reporting of. Like, let's stop tracking those car crashes. Let's start tracking women's periods and pregnancies. Let's do that. We should have a federal department of women's menstruation. And I only mean that like half jokingly. I mean, for crying out loud, South Carolina's Republicans, they're reintroducing the death penalty for women that get an abortion. They're coming back on that one. Didn't quite get enough of it the first time around when it went down. Ooh, Lord. I mean, texting in, do you think any normal American believes Mad Cow, referring to Rachel Maddow? You don't need to believe what she just said. You can go use the Google box and find out what she said is true. It is. Donald Trump has proposed getting rid of car crash data. There are all kinds of investigations proceeding right now in the federal government about Elon Musk's self-driving cars. Like, forget Rachel Maddow. Who cares who the messenger is? Same texter. All lies today. What, sir, specifically or ma'am, is a lie? Forget that it's me saying it. Forget that you disagree with me most of the time. Either Donald Trump has proposed eliminating the collection of car crash data or he hasn't. And I don't think it's disputable that Elon Musk has numerous federal investigations going on right now into his self-driving cars killing people. I'm just saying, like, forget me, forget Rachel Maddow. Nice that you call a woman a cow, by the way. Lame. All right, I've gotten a little off topic. We're going to take your phone calls, though, because this is important and we want to have a great conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the one.
I'm dreaming for arguments based on facts and specific facts at that, and a willingness to talk about actual facts. Please, let's keep our eyeball on the federal data. Let's keep our eyeballs wide open about Elon Musk's conflicts of interest. I mean, if this was George Soros, do you think the right would be like, oh, that's good. Let George dictate U.S. policy. That's cool. No problem. I mean, come on. We cannot have rules for me and rules for thee. That's not how this works. One of our texters from La Crosse saying this. Why can't people see that Elon Musk bought the presidency? Dear texter, I don't know, but that's what he did. They continue. He couldn't become president on his own because he wasn't born in the United States of America. So Donald Trump said, go ahead, do whatever you want to. Just give me $1 billion and I'll let you take over. It was $277 million. But hey, a rounding error for Elon Musk. Again, the $277 million that Elon Musk spent on Donald Trump's behalf is less than a month's worth of his current money, less than 30 days worth. And that's if he earns not a single cent more, because the man can spend $10 million a day, every day for 100 years and still have just under $100 billion left. This is a problem, especially if money is speech. Gene from Eau Claire, always nice to see you on my caller list. What's up, Gene?
Well, I'm just going to chew that, whoever that writer is, because if he wants to support Devil Don, who surrounds himself with Devil Don mouthpieces, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is an oligarchy. This isn't like our government. This is not anything like what our government used to be. And to watch the people just kowtow. I mean, Trump was running our government when he wasn't even in office, and these people were kissing his feet. I don't get it, Maggie. I really don't. You know, there's this thing called, remember subliminal advertising?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, we got a lot of that going on if people watch Fox. There's messages all over the place, and it's like, you know, people, when you confront them or ask them facts, they don't know any.
Yeah, that's, I just, Democrats have taken money from donors, too. But it's not at the scale that has occurred for Republicans, right? Like, it's money in politics is always bad. Elon Musk and his purchasing of the U.S. Congress and the presidency is also not bad. Is also really bad, right? Like, let's just, we're going to criticize all of them that continue to support money in politics. All of us, red, blue, purple, polka dotted. Can we all agree that we want a constitutional amendment that says money isn't speech and corporations aren't people and we can have campaign finance reform? Can we all just agree to that and move forward from there. Can we agree that facts should matter and that grotesque conflicts of interest when you have billions of dollars of contracts with the federal government, that you might not be the best guy to assess government efficiency? I mean, maybe that's we can say that. It's just, it's painful for me. And I don't care if people hate me or think I'm a bad person. Again, there are actual facts. Can we please talk about them? Catherine from Madison. Hey, Maggie, thanks for the Ronald Reagan quote on Social Security. And thanks for being there and giving us the provable facts every day. You are welcome, Catherine. I'm doing my best. I won't always get it right. But when I do get it wrong, I'll apologize and correct the record. And we'll go back to trying to talk about facts. I mean, isn't this what it is? Tom from Jackson. Maggie, you're doing a great job with a hugely important future road safety subject. Don't let the trolls get to you. I will not, my friend Tom. I enjoy the feedback. I enjoy negative feedback because at least we can try to engage in some kind of a conversation. That is the entire point. Hey, Cardi, we got a caller that needs to get screened. Thomas from West Allis, you are next up.
Hey, good afternoon, Maggie. Remember, well, I don't know if you remember, but back in the 60s, Ralph Nader took on GM and destroyed the Corvair, wrote a book called Unsafe at Any Speed. In the 70s, Ford made the Pinto. And if you were rear-ended in a Pinto, they would become a big fireball. 27 people died in Pinto accidents. But 232 Teslas blow up, resulting in 83 people getting killed, and we don't even hear about that.
Yeah,
there's things that are just not right anymore, and I don't understand where, you know, even the Democrats should be all over this to point out these things, but there's just silence. I don't get it.
So frustrating, Thomas. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I am in a headspace where, like, every conversation I have with someone, I'm like, hey, do you know that Elon Musk can spend $10 million a day, every day, never earn another penny for the rest of his life, and he can do that for 100 years. Every day, $10 million a day for 100 years, and he will still have nearly $100 billion left. Like, does this make sense to you? If money is speech and corporations are people? Like, just answer me that. My angry texter from the 414 who keeps saying I'm spewing clickbait. Zero facts. Is my math wrong? Can you math with me, texter? Type into your little calculator, everybody. 10 million. Okay? Texter from the 414. Put in 10 million into your calculator. Multiply it by the number of days in a year, 365. And then multiply that by 100, the number of years we're talking about. And it's $365 billion. The guy is $444 billion. Do you think he's making democracy more healthy? I mean, come on. It's just so, like, do you not believe that math maths anymore? Can we go to 2 plus 2? I mean, come on, man. It's so frustrating. Keith, hello, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie, I like your 12-year-old texter there. That's really mature, you know, right back in middle school. Anyway, so my thing, Maggie, is this. There is this feeling among some people on the right that we cannot attack the rich because, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll become a billionaire someday, you know?
Oh, Keith, that is my favorite one. Remember when they renamed estate taxes to death taxes because everybody dies? Listen, everybody listening out there, these texters, Kamala got $1 billion. Yeah, that sucks too. Terrible. Shouldn't happen. But it's a matter of scale. Nobody listening to me right now is going to become Elon Musk. So now what? We come back, I got to sew now what? Dom Salvia joins me. We're going to have a little holiday fun and put a pin in the politics. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy holidays, everybody.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The cheese movement is tapering off as the holidays approach. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. And on the close today, cheese is seeing its first dip of the week. Dairy broker and analyst Katie Burgess from EverEgg has the details.
That's for sure. I'm talking to some folks, you know, maybe a few last bottles of eggnog being made or some heavy whipping cream. But other than that, the holiday demand season is just about done. The product that is going to be on the shelves for Christmas is already well on its way. And so it does feel like traditionally, as we get towards the end of the year, demand for dairy will slow down. We've still got a lot of football ahead of us. Super Bowl remains a big holiday for cheese, but it does feel like we're ending the main demand season and now going to transition back into inventory building.
Katie Burgess is our guest today. She's a broker agent with EverEgg. Katie also reminds us that tomorrow afternoon, USDA will release milk production figures, and so that could shake things up during the holiday week next week. We'll take a look at our closing dairy markets in just a moment.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
On the close Thursday from Chicago, we are seeing the Class 3 milk price take a dive, as Katie Burgess predicted, as we end the holiday buying season. The January Class 3 milk contract is trading 64 cents lower at 1953 a hundredweight, and the February contract is down 45 cents at 1927 a hundredweight. Barrel cheese closed down 2.5 cents at $1.76, the 40-pound block cheese down 0.5 cents at $1.85.5, and AA butter is unchanged from yesterday at $2.51. Grain markets saw a lift. Cash corn closed up 3.5 cents at $4.40 3/4. 2025 new crop corn closed up 1 penny 3/4 at $4.34 3/4. Cash soybeans closed up 11.25 cents at $9.63 a bushel. And 2025 new crop beans closed up 11 cents at $9.76 3/4. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A winter storm warning is in effect, with snow ongoing throughout the entire day, into the evening, and even overnight. Coming down heavy at times, reducing visibility to under a mile, and creating slick and slippery roads. With breezy winds gusting around 20 miles per hour, it's blowing and drifting the snow as well. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Friday. That means it is time to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Valentine's and Easter eggs and New Year's wine. But when my heart finds Christmas,
it is the holiday season here.
Will shine like new.
And I'm so happy to be joined by my little buddy who's been getting himself a tan in places tropical. Looking good, brother. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. How are you, friend?
Hey, Maggie. I am great. Thank you for having me. Great to see you back from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
I woke up yesterday.
Did you throw some paper towels?
I did not.
No,
I did
paper
not.
Towel
no,
throwing. Okay,
no,
that's
no,
good.
No, no paper towel throwing. lots of rum and pina coladas and mojitos.
Do you like pina coladas and taking walks in the rain?
We were actually in the rain drinking pina coladas. This week. So yeah, my life is literally a song.
Yes. You said it, friend. Listen, I want to first say thanks to the texters and callers who made for an incredibly lively discussion. I come into these shows with a plan, and then you all blow my plans up, and I love that. That means we are doing what we should be, which is having a great conversation, even when we disagree. The name-calling, maybe a wee bit less of that. That's a little, you know, juvenile. Also, I'm just going to say this. I love the disagreement. But when you call me a liar or you say, Maggie, you're all full of it or this, that, and the other. Listen, let's be specific, because if you're not specific, I can't actually engage the conversation. So if you want to call me a liar, tell me what I said that was inaccurate. If you want to do whataboutism, I'll call that whataboutism, because I had a texter, again, ticked off that Kamala Harris took money from donors. That's because the rules for our elections stink for Democrats. Democrats shouldn't be taking money from billionaires and donors either. But I did point this out, and there are tons of charts out there that you can actually do a comparison. If you take the 10 wealthiest families in the country that donated to political campaigns and you stack up their donations, and one of the things that we're worried about is not just the raw amount of donations, but donations from individualized sources. Right. Like that's because that's how you buy influence. Right. And that's how you control policy. When you stack up those 10 wealthiest families, it was like on a $5 to $1 basis they gave to Donald Trump. So like it's not. What about? Yes, that also stinks and shouldn't happen. And money isn't speech. And Donald Trump got way more of the richest family's money than did Kamala Harris. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids asks a great question. Here's Tyler's question. I wonder if Elon Musk could give every man, woman, and child in America $1 million and still be a millionaire. Should we actually try to do math?
I never do math on the radio.
I think I can do the math on the air. So there's 330 million of us, and $1 million has how many zeros? It has 9 zeros, right?
Six
zeros? Yes, 6 zeros. So $1 million has 6 zeros. So if you add 6 zeros to the 330 million of us, right? So you go from 330 with 6 zeros and you add 6 more zeros, that's 12 zeros. I think that's over Elon Musk. I think that might be $3.3 trillion. I think that's what that is. I will figure that out. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, I just tried to do math on the radio because they were zero. We're multiplying by tens. I should be able to do it. But I will actually find that answer out for surely and let you know. Because yikes.
My math says $330 trillion.
Oh, that's an even bigger number
than
my
number, yeah.
$3.3 trillion.
But, you know, don't quote
again,
me on it. We're on the radio.
We're on the radio. It's hard to do math on the radio, even when you're somewhatly good at math. By the way, somewhatly, not a real word.
If you say it long
now,
enough,
somewhatly,
it becomes a
money
word.
Money is speech. Corporations are people. Okay, I promised everybody we'd move on, and here I am wallowing in the politics more. Dom, I wanted to talk about fun holiday stuff with you.
Yeah.
Because we are in the season. It is that time. First of all, I wanted to share with everybody, you know, for many of us, this can be a bit of a lonely time, right? If you don't have big family, you don't have a ton of plans. And I think all of us have had those moments in our life where we've been a little lonely. And I wanted to ask you, Dom, like, What do you do when you're feeling either a little sad or a little lonely? Like, how do you pick up your spirits? Do you have advice to people that are listening to pick themselves up if they're feeling a little alone over the holiday season?
Well, I would just, it's very rare. Let's put it that way.
You feel lonely.
When I get the alone time, sometimes it's welcomed. You know, there's a lot of peopling going on in my world these days, and sometimes all the peopling can be overbearing as well. I mean, I think there's a lot of that as well, right? Not just the fact
there's
that
a
people
feeling
can
of,
be lonely.
Yeah, there's a feeling sometimes, even when you're with a lot of people, you can still feel lonely.
Oh, right.
Right? Yeah. That is a very real thing. I describe often, I lived in New York, and sometimes I did feel lonely, but sometimes I felt also like I can be alone in the sea of people, and that worked for me. So I take your point.
Yes, yes.
So just maybe at times that you've been a little sad, what do you do to bring yourself out of that? Other than talk smack on the radio, my friend.
Besides that, go for a walk, go to the gym, you know, go grab a drink, engage in the things that you enjoy. You know, it's not always the social part of life, man. You know, self-care is a big thing. And, you know, I'm a very social person, and so I draw energy from other people, and it gives me energy. But if there's a time that I would be sad, and it's so very rare, man. When Dad passed, I drank a lot. I guess that'd be the, but I wouldn't suggest anyone
don't do that. That's
but engage in the activities that bring you joy. If it's reading, if it's sitting down reading a book, do that. If you like going to the gym, working out, you know, do something that you, if you're going to go to the gym, go do leg day. You know, if you're always a bench press guy, mix it up, go do some legs.
You know? Do some legs, you'll feel good.
Do some legs, bro. You know, get on that. Do some cardio, those kinds of things. And that's for me. And everyone's got their hobby and the things they enjoy. I think when you have an opportunity, and you know, because it gets so busy.
It does.
It gets really, really busy. And I'm not a big fan of the word busy, because we can, you know, dig a hole and fill it back up.
Well, it's like everybody has a lovely sense of humor, right? And it is very funny and is also very busy. I've never asked someone, hey, how you doing? And they're like, you know what? I'm real bored and things are super slow at work. I'm just coasting and phoning it in. Like, I don't hear that so much.
I hear it a little bit.
Well, that's just from you, Dom.
Phoning it in, Maggie. So, you know, it is tough. I think, you know, the difficult times for me have been really around family, you know, Pa not being there, you know, Ma not doing too well in the home and all that. So those things, and you reflect and enjoy the times that you had, you know, and I think those are, remember those things and try to then, you know, you can't replicate it, but engage in it. You know, we just went on a trip and we took our adult kids with us. Adler's 22,
so
Izzy's 19.
Yeah.
And it's been so long. And I see them jumping in the ocean, in the waves. And they remind me, just like when they were kids, when they're just little 6-7-year-olds, you know, and so you can't recreate it. Those days are gone. Every minute that's gone, you can't go get back, but you can make an effort, to purposefully engage and try to do those things that bring you joy.
One of the things that, and I don't care where you are in the state of Wisconsin, it can be at a tavern, it can be after a religious service, it can be at your local grocery store. One of the things that I think can help people break out from a funk, if you will, is, hey, just go have a nice little conversation about nothing with a complete stranger.
Right. Yeah.
And like just... like sprinkle a little sunshine and smiles, and like usually in the state of Wisconsin, you will almost like 99.99999% of the time
go to the grocery store. Someone will talk to you at the checkout line.
Give a call. I don't know. Invent some questions, some assistance that you need. Call up a store. You will end up in a conversation. Right. Go to a Starbucks. Someone will end up in conversation, because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
We reciprocate those kindnesses. I was reading up on just some of the things to break through loneliness or a little bit of funk. And obviously, I think some of it is like, if you feel badly, sometimes you can't fight that. It's just like, oh, not having the best day, but maybe I'll just take a pause today, and tomorrow I'm going to get up and go grocery shopping or get some things done.
Self-awareness and knowing that, because not everyone, you know, some days are great, you know, some days are okay, and some days are a little tough, and know that, you know, the great days are never going to last forever, nor will the terrible days, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And being able to recognize those. And a lot of those feelings are all within our head. I think that's the other thing, too. I mean, it's so weird. I can wake up some days, nothing has changed. The weather's the same. I'm the same weight. Yep. You know what I mean? And some days I'd be in a better mood than others. Why is that? Yep. You know what I mean? And I don't know why that is. There's all sorts of reasons why that could be. But recognizing that today, that's how I'm feeling. And then kind of, you know, adjust for that. Not to overcompensate, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just, but like maybe today isn't the best
today's
day.
Today's the best day to do X, Y, or Z.
Right, well, reassess tomorrow.
Yeah. Some days, super efficient. Today, really efficient. Well, I was off for a few days, you know what I mean? Got back today, man. I was like, man, if I could work like this every day, I'd get everything done. Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't last. So, you know, when you're riding that wave, ride it out and get what you can done. And when it's a little slower, at least in your head maybe, and those things and the work things and life things become a little more complicated and burdensome, hold them back off. Lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, you can. Throttle back.
Yep.
Okay, so Dom, wanted to ask you about some of your holiday memories. Do you have a, like, Christmas present that you either gave to your kids or that you got as a kid that was like, oh my God, it's the Red Ryder BB gun. Oh my goodness. So excited. It was like the best thing that you ever got or gave as a kid or to your kids.
What I got as a kid.
Yeah.
What was amazing.
Yes.
2XL.
What's 2XL?
2XL was this little robot looking guy. And it was basically an 8-track tape. And you put the 8-track in it, and it asked you questions. You'd punch it.
Old dude.
And, yeah, I know. you know, it was basically a modified 8-track, and you put the buttons over the label over the buttons, and it would answer questions, and it'd skip through the tape, and it was the coolest.
He was your little buddy.
He was our
you
little buddy.
You had a little buddy.
I had a little buddy. My little 2XL. We were so excited. I must have been 5 or 6 years.
That's
old.
Like Teddy Ruxpin. It was like a talking teddy bear. It was super cool. So my like best kid gift ever was a ping pong table. And my parents played this so well. My dad had wrapped up just ping pong paddles and the ping pong balls. And so I unwrap it and I was like, okay, cool. Like, what am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do with this, Dad?
Go hang on the bowling alley.
He explained he was a kid. He grew up in the city. We used to just play it off the wall, and me and my buddy. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's kind of lame, but okay. It's Dad. I'll give it a good try. And he said, well, you know, I think we've got some good wall space in the basement. So we went down into the basement with my ping pong paddles and balls thinking, this is going to be lame. How long do I have to entertain Dad for with the playing ping pong off the wall? And we came around the corner and there was this huge ping pong table set up. We were probably down there. Now, the funniest part was they still live in the city. So the ping pong table was set up in the furnace room, so it was real hot in there. My dad and I would stay down there for hours. It was like my dad turned into a kid. My mom would be like, Mike, Maggie, dinner. And we're down there.
Floor.
Yeah, exactly. We're down there whacking the pig, sweating because the furnaces are just pumping out the heat. Apparently, my dad stayed up until approximately 3 o'clock in the morning putting that puppy together.
That's awesome.
Every parent knows that assembling the Christmas presents into the wee hours of the morning, maybe with a couple of four-letter words. Folks, those sweet dulcet tones you hear are from Dom Salvia. He's my little buddy and yours. He's got the great show that follows mine from 4 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're having a little walk down memory lane in anticipation of the holidays. You want to share some favorite holiday memories? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. When we come back, I want to know about, have you ever had any gruesome sledding incidents, Dominic? Because I've had a couple of near-death experiences, my friend. Again, we want to hear from you all. Favorite memories of any stripe surrounding the holidays. Let's keep it positive. As we wind up this Thursday show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Brief couple of messages and we'll be right back. Keep it locked, folks.
When my heart finds Christmas, I hope it finds you too.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK,
Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Little Bing Crosby. Wouldn't be Christmas without him. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm with Dom Salvia, who's got the fantastic show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're just having a little fun this afternoon, talking about some of our favorite holiday memories. We've got David on the line from California. David, what's up, friend? Do you want to share a memory or make a comment, sir?
Well, yeah, it's funny. You're talking about favorite memories kind of thing. My dad, when my parents divorced, my dad married a nun. And the nun was big in the school district down in St. Louis. And so my dad got white hair by the time he was about 30. So when he would grow a beard, she would put him out there in the school district doing Santa Claus.
Aww.
And he did that for about 30 years. And I remember going one afternoon to I took my video camera down to one of the elementary schools, and he would sit there for hours. And I think there were like 300 kids that came up to him, and they'd all pull his beard. They couldn't believe it. He got on the front page of the paper. He would do the hospitals, and he would do the all sorts of different charitable events. And so my dad was Santa Claus.
Oh, David. That's so amazing. But, well, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for sharing your wonderful memory of your dad. Thanks to your dad for sharing his talents and his real beard with your community. Take care, my friend. Folks, you want to get in your special holiday memory, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Kimber from Muskoda saying she had a fort set, and she ensured that the Native Americans, then, of course, un-PC called Indians, always won. I love it. You are a progressive even as a kid, Kimber. Sherry from Horicon says, hey, Dom. Keith from Broadhead sharing just our appreciation to you and I, Dom, for helping lift his spirits. He had lost some loved ones around the holiday season. Chuckster from Racine reminding everybody it's election day today in Racine for Racine County Executive. The polls are open until 8 p.m. It is either our area Piggly Wiggly magnet or the magnate. It's either a Piggly Wiggly magnate or a longtime civil servant and county clerk that is running for Racine County Exec. Mary from Mount Horeb texting in a great book, Don't Believe Everything You Think. Why Your Thinking is the Beginning and End of Suffering. Thanks for sharing that. I love a good book. I will be checking that out. And we got Kathleen on the line. Kathleen, happy holidays to you. Do you have a memory to share or a comment you'd like to make?
Hi, Maggie. Thanks for having me. Yes, so every year we would decorate gingerbread houses pretty extensively. My mom even made her own little template and made a ginormous gingerbread house. Well, one year
wow.
we had licorice on top. We had I had unwrapped all this big red gum and used as shingles. And we went to church, and my mom put it on the counter thinking it was, you know, safe. And our three dogs, one of them found it and brought it down on the floor. And so we got home from church, and there was three dogs
crumbs.
With red sticky crap all over the place.
Oh, my God. Did they have cinnamony fresh breath? Kathleen, did the dogs have cinnamony fresh breath from all the big red?
Yeah, and super sticky. And I think I was responsible for cleaning them up. I don't really remember all the details, but.
Yes, you blocked it out because things rolled downhill to the youngest child. You cleaned that up. I tried to put a gingerbread house together once, and I was just humbled. Humbled! Not the easiest thing. Okay, Dom, we got just a couple minutes left.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite additional holiday memory or sledding fiasco that you've gotten yourself into?
So growing up on a hill in the middle of nowhere, Stevensville, Wisconsin, between Hortonville and Shiocton, we were on a hill, and we had some like grass for a while, and then it was pine trees.
Yes.
And we would take our sleds, and that was fun, but we decided to get Dad's toboggan out one time.
Mm. Danger.
Didn't really steer very well, and you know, right down, and that thing goes fast.
Right, all the weight.
Yeah, and we crashed into a tree and broke the toboggan. And yeah,
that's what you get for horsing around. Yeah, you'll poke your eye out, Dom.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Okay, so my little sledding fiasco was this. Me and my three best girlfriends from high school. Yes, we were in high school. 2 inches of snow on the ground, just enough. 2-3 of that fluffy stuff that gets compacted and then it just gets real slick. Before the plows came through in the Washington Highlands in the Wauwatosa neighborhood on an intertube that was real big, like the two man's.
Yeah.
Going down a big steep hill. And I was probably, it would take two of my best friends together to equal one Maggie back in the day. They're little tiny petite people, kind of like you, Dom.
Yeah.
So we get going on this sucker, and there was basically like a hairpin turn at the bottom of the hill with a big old double banger mailbox.
Oh.
Well, you get a couple of seconds down that hill, and my friends started screaming because that was what we were bearing down
see
on.
It, right?
So I reached over my friend. I was on the left side of the two-man inner tube. Grabbed the handle and kind of like wrenched us to the left and bailed us out. We were not perfectly unscathed, but those little injuries sure beat slamming into a double wide mailbox at about 30 miles an hour. Listen, everybody, happy holidays. Dom Salvia is up next. Hope all is well with you and yours. Take care, everyone. We got a special show for you tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Take care out there.
But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland.
Sleigh bells ring.
Are you listening?
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, world-famous podcaster and comedian Jimmy Pardo makes the popcorn pick of the week. And performing live in the studio are the Doctors in Recital. That's how you light it up holiday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabach.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase, you are what you eat, is very true because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabach. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After President-elect Trump voiced opposition to the bipartisan short-term measure to avert a government shutdown, House Republicans scrambled to draft an alternate fix, but it's not a done deal yet.
Emerging from closed-door meetings, the Republican chairman of the House Appropriations Committee told reporters that Republicans have reached their own agreement on a spending measure that would avoid a shutdown. What's in it isn't clear, but President-elect Trump is now insisting that Republicans raise the debt ceiling before he takes office. Earlier, the top House Democrat said any talk of doing that would be premature at best.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. A whirlwind court day for Luigi Mangione, the man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO, whisked back to New York after waiving extradition in Pennsylvania. He appeared in federal court on new charges, including stalking murder, and he's facing state charges. He did not enter a plea. And the Dow closed in positive territory following yesterday's huge losses. This is ABC News.
I'm James.